Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence.
Harold Walnut.
And they called it puppy love. I'll never know how a young heart really feels, and why I love her so.
Nerd.
And they called it puppy love.
Tomaso, Tomaso. Hello, welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman. I am Ben, your sunshine into Gotham, and I just so happen to be the youngest of three brothers.
And I'm Aaron, I'm the oldest out of us. I produce this mess. Thanks for tuning back in.
And I'm Jake, I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came up with the crazy list of comics that we read through each week here on the Brotherhood of Batman, a podcast where three brothers get together to talk about Batman comics in a crazy continuity order and anything else geeky, nerdy, and Dark Knight related that we feel like each week. Welcome back, and thank you for listening. How are you guys?
You did so good, Jake.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's probably the best one you've done in a while.
Thank you.
In a while. How many episodes do we have?
240.
6 years.
Yeah. So what's been going on in your geeky little lives?
Stop talking about comic books or I'll
what do you think you're doing,
you.
Nerd?
Stop spending
get those words! Nerd!
Nerd!
Geek.
I mean, I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
Well, we all just spent a lovely Saturday together going around the local comic book stores, so that was super fun. I thought we could chat about that a little bit, if anyone had a favorite store or a favorite thing that they found that day.
Yeah, it's been kind of becoming close to an annual tradition, right? This is our
We've
second year.
We've done it twice, yes.
Yeah, so I think twice makes it a tradition, yeah. And plans to do it a third time, but we all get together, at least the three of us, and we invite some friends and other kids and stuff to go around, and we try to hit as many stores in one day as possible in the local greater St. Louis area. So
the bulk of us hit five this week?
I think we did five or six. I think it was five.
And the real champions, the one that stuck it out the whole day.
The ones who didn't have prior plans.
The ones who prioritized going to comic book stores made it to eight. Ben and I made it to eight that day.
Oh. Yeah. Aaron, you'll have to check those out. There was a couple small ones, but the last one we hit was huge and very organized with their...
What was the last one?
Alphabetizing.
Comic Relief.
Oh, yeah. I've been out there. Where it's all like the pull drawers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They have a... Have you been to their new spot since they moved?
No.
It's literally on the other side of the gas station that they used to be on.
Because it was kind of hidden in the back.
Yes. This is not quite as much.
It's a standalone building now. It's very large.
Oh, that's good.
And they built it themselves to build out the way that they wanted the store set up and everything.
So, oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. I haven't been out there for a while and couldn't make it the whole time because we had other plans.
Legit.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
There's some of them were kind of chaotic. We went to, first stop was Tater Tot down in Arnold area, and that was a nice shop. I actually went back there yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Just to spend a little time digging through the boxes, and which I didn't, first stop of the day, I didn't want to like spend a ton of time digging and blow everything at the first one. But
and then by the third one, you're like, damn, I wish I had bought more Tater Tots.
Yeah, you kind of do. But it's a nice place. A lot of figures and a lot of stuff.
You'd been there before, but that was the first time Ben and I had been to that spot.
Yes.
I had been there before they had to remodel. So they had to remodel due to some flooding and stuff. But it was definitely worth checking out if you get around to that one.
Yeah. And we went up to Comic HQ, Comic Headquarters. That's one that's been on both trips so far and is definitely a great place to go and fill some holes in your collection and kind of dig through. It's been around forever, which is really cool. It's one of the older spots in St. Louis. So.
And shocking to me that it's been around forever, because I'm pretty sure my first time was last year when we did this.
That's crazy.
It's also one where unless you know it's there, you may not notice it's there.
Yeah.
Big, it doesn't have a lot of signage out front, and it's kind of on a corner, and there's some other businesses that are much more prominently displayed on that little strip mall.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a nice hole in the wall, and they always have some good finds.
Yep, yep. We went out to Dizzy Dugout. Have you got in
Jesus Christ.
Collinsville, Illinois. Neither of you had been there. No, I've been there
once, and I got overwhelmed, and I left very quickly the first time. I was like, Jake, I'm not doing this.
It was interesting. It was 8 billion degrees in there, and so I kind of didn't want to hang around in there too long because it was too damn hot. Like, I don't know. They need to drop the temp by about 15 degrees. But they had a lot of floor-to-ceiling shelves with all kinds of playing cards, collectible cards. Card games, all kinds of stuff, and
random things,
very
from the
random
80s.
Stuff that you never will see again, and would have been looked at like a couple packs of Kingdom Hearts cards that ended up being like $180 a pack or something ridiculous.
I did not buy them.
No. Just kind of fun to look through all that stuff.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun that day. I texted my wife on the way to...
To apologize for the amount of money you were spending?
No. on the way to the third store to tell her that I had spent the least of the three of us so far
that
day.
Made up for that.
that third store kind of ruined that.
He wanted to make sure she knew that at one point.
At one point, I have gone through two stores and not spent the most.
So. Yeah, that's fair.
I behaved myself. We talk a lot about the CLZ app. I mostly did my wish list. So I was able to check off a lot of things from the wish list. Bought a couple pops, which of course are never on a wish list. But I'm like, man, it's fine.
They should develop a pop wish list.
Oh, God, Jesus.
Well, I'm sure there's got to be somebody out there with a pop tracking app, right? Like, because
there's got to be.
There's huge collectors.
Speaking of huge, where is Andre the Giant the Pop?
He is down on the makeshift. My comics have spilled out of the closet just to make more room. So I've cleared out a couple of other crappy bookshelves that have been laying around the house, and so I've started moving things out there just to free up room, because everything was just too cluttered. You know, it just gets to be...
In a literal closet.
Yeah, that's where the water pipe is, so if they have to do maintenance, I was like, you know what, let's move some of these other ones out of here, and...
Oh, man, just the stress of being next to a water pipe in my comics. I'm like, nope.
Give you flashbacks.
So, yeah, I may have to rethink, you know, what's kept in there, but I'm gonna work on that.
It's nice for now.
No, it's fine for now.
You've sent some... I haven't seen it in person in a while, but you've sent some pictures, and I like your setup. How you've got your action figures hung up on the walls and things.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. It's a little nondescript.
Yeah, and while I have this giant wall upstairs that I'm like, come look at my one wall. And then Jake is like living in a freaking cave.
It's not a cave. It's an office.
I mean, there are windows, but...
I got a sliding glass door and a balcony. I mean, it's...
And how many comic books, Jake?
I feel like the office room is going to be built out and take over the deck. And the deck's just going to be moved like nondescriptly about 7 feet so that he has more space. And the people owning the buildings are going to be like, what happened here? And Jake's like, it's always been that way.
What are you talking about?
This was redone when the flood happened, right? And
I mean, I definitely have tried to convince my eldest son to move into this bedroom so I could take over his room because he doesn't
have... That's in the basement. Don't do that.
Right, but he doesn't have a closet and he only has one window, so I could do shelves completely across three walls.
Oh, he doesn't have a closet.
Yeah, his closet's across the...
I've never realized the hallway
from the bathroom, so...
Oh. Hmm.
Yeah, so it's three full walls because the door and the window only take up... That's, you know, anyways.
That's my curse theory. These windows and doors. I have to work around for my storage.
The moment he moves out.
Oh, wow. God. Counting the days. Yeah. That's fine. Any other highlights from the comic hunt?
Yeah, Ben, did you have a favorite thing that you found that day?
My
favorite thing that Aaron bought was Andre the Giant because he was hilarious.
Andre was cool. Huge. I don't know. I was just happy I stuck it in my little list. I did, Aaron, after you left us, I did find one of the DC December 97 face covers.
Oh, yeah.
I got the Catwoman one. So
nice.
That was sweet.
Nice.
I'm surprised you didn't have that one.
Yeah. So now the only like big one I have left, honestly, I think is Wonder Woman. I looked for her at every store we went to, but she's hard to find. So
send it. You need to like just compile like which ones do you need?
The list. Yeah.
Because
it's getting small, but there's some of them are really freaking random, which you're only going to find in like dollar bins.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the tricky thing is you could probably find the whole set of them if somewhere like STL Comics, if you were willing to dig long enough.
But next then time I go.
If you know the titles, like there are places that'll have them sorted and you could, you know, maybe you're going to pay $2 or $3 for the book, but it's sorted and you only have to look in one spot.
Well, that's what I did with Catwoman. It was Comic Relief. It was at Comic Relief. I was like, let me go through the alphabet. And because I hadn't got any face covers the whole day, I was like, I should get one today. So I paid like $3.50. So I was like, it's fine.
That's all right.
So,
I'm going to do one more Week in Geek now that you just mentioned going through the alphabet. I taught Bat Baby yesterday what alphabetical order was.
Oh, Jesus. So like now he can organize your comic books.
But we did it. He has a DC encyclopedia of characters, so it's just one page per character, no event. And so we did that book, like that's how we did alphabetical order, because he has all the little Imagine X figures. And so he's like, where's Lobo? I'm like, well, this is how you find Lobo and look for the L. And so he would go and find, and so then he had to find Wonder Woman. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Nice.
I think it's hilarious that the first one he wanted to find on his own was Lobo.
He's pretty much right there in the middle. So
yeah. It's good.
The main All man. Right. Should you guys want to talk? One. I'm sorry?
The main man should be number one.
He should be number one always. I'm glad that the edition of the character encyclopedia that he has is late enough that it's not Pretty Boy Lobo, but it's good Lobo. So
there was a Pretty Boy Lobo?
Oh, it's bad.
Yeah, in the new 52.
Oh.
He's like sexy and young and like more human.
New 52 was wild.
Oh, don't worry. We're getting there.
Oh, God.
17 years from now.
Yeah, I have something I have to announce. Note. So anyway, all right. So what do we read, Jake?
At Flashpoint, we have an alternate Ben on the podcast.
Hey, ooh.
Josh. Speaking of Flashpoint, Josh is going to be here for all of New 52.
He would not.
That'd be hilarious. All right, you guys want to talk about the book we read this week?
Sure. What do we read?
All right. So we read New Gotham, Volume 2. This collects DC Comics 755 through 765 and Superman 168. We did skip over 757, but that's, you know, you can read it if you forgot the trade. So this picks up right after Officer Down with Commissioner Gordon's retirement party coming up. Sasha Bordeaux, the bodyguard for Bruce Wayne, has become very suspicious of her person she's supposed to be protecting and all why he keeps ditching her and what is he doing all the time when he's just out running around. So she starts to investigate him. And during her investigation, the GCPD is also starting to look into the death of the guy who shot Commissioner Gordon, and we get a little bit more of those strings being pulled, and we follow those leads to find out what all happened there. We also have the returning character, Vespa Fairchild. She comes in and starts to woo Bruce Wayne again after now that No Man's Land is over.
That's all cute, Jake, but the most important and the best thing that we read in here was when Lois Lane teams up with Batman to go steal the kryptonite ring from Lex Luthor. That is all I want to talk about.
That's the reason there's a Superman issue in here. Yeah.
And we had the intro of Crypto the Dog. Was that our first official intro of Crypto the Dog?
I think so,
because I think this is his modern reintroduction back into comics.
And Lois does not like having a dog ruin all her stuff.
It's kind of funny. That part was pretty funny. So do you think when Sasha, when Sasha uncovers the Batarang in the case, do you think Bruce left it out or Batman left it there intentionally for her to find?
Oh, man.
Because I don't see him making, like, just casually leaving his shit laying around for somebody to uncover. I kind of feel like, was that a test, part of her gauntlet? Like, how much do you want to be? Like, because you're being super fucking annoying and won't leave me alone. So I either have to embrace that you're stuck here or I can give you a job and I can manipulate you into doing what I want by you uncovering this.
I definitely see where you're coming from. And I think that there's a way to see it as Bruce manipulating her. I also think because he doesn't have Alfred right now, he's just off his fucking game, right? Like, Alfred would normally be the one that's, like, hiding all the gear that he's not needing, and he'd be putting away, and Bruce is like, I don't know how to use a suitcase.
Yeah, I can see both sides. I feel like Bruce's competency is dependent on the writer and what the story needs.
Yes.
There's a lot of plot armor going on. But I feel... I read it as he kind of guided her into, like, he let her figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're probably right, Aaron. He's probably like, well, she's going to keep working on it until she figures it out. So here's a batarang.
Yeah, I think you're actually right, too. I think that it was left exposed. If she decided to go looking, she could find it. The whole Sasha storyline is something that I knew happened, but it is never talked about, really. Like, it's pretty...
No, I didn't know it
uncommon
happened.
Uncommon knowledge.
Her storyline? Yeah, yeah, I didn't know anything about her.
No. And she is... So, the book more or less ends with her basically becoming a member of the Bat Family to never be talked about again. She's in, like, a rip-off Huntress outfit.
Yeah.
And the art in these books is not my style
doesn't
of
she,
art.
Does she meet with Huntress?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that there's... was... Like, the Huntress costume was kind of... not the best. It was hard to tell who that was at first. I was like, who is she meeting with? I can't remember. I wrote down, I was like, was it Punchline? Some like, or no, that was that the crazy girl calling for her papa. I was like, who the hell is that? And
papa.
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to figure out who. It just didn't seem, the art kind of was off on some of that. I was just like, I'm not sure what costume this is until.
Well, post.
I agree. It wasn't super clear.
Post No Man's Land, they went into this art style in a lot of the Batman, Detective, even Catwoman, went into, it's not cartoony, like.
It's like simplistic, monochrome, like.
And it can be done really, really well. Like, Darwin Cook, who does a later Catwoman story that we're going to read, does it very well, and it's very clear what they're doing. But some of the artists that were kind of mimicking that style or working in a similar one aren't nearly as crisp and clear, and it kind of just isn't as engaging, I find, as some of the other art at this time in comics. And it's actually, I stopped buying the issues post No Man's Land when the art shifted because I didn't like it anymore. And I'm like, I just bought every issue of No Man's Land for everything. I'm going to stop for a while.
Let that be it, yeah.
I think that art style worked when we read the one, I think it was the Roz storyline. It was kind of very like the lady that was like actually a snake.
Yes.
That kind of, that monochromatic color scheme worked well in those issues.
And it works really good with like the GCPD stuff, the more noir cop stories, like, which Greg Rucka is writing a lot of this, and that kind of fits with his writing style. But I think in the superhero-y settings, it's a little bit lost. It's not quite bold enough, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the right word. I'm not using the right description for it.
No, I think that makes sense. It should be, like, some of the colors need to pop in certain areas to make, you know, the difference or to make it stand out. And I think it was missing and where it needed to be in here.
Yeah. And so Sasha finds the bat gear in her hotel room with Bruce. And she's like, I'm going to have to talk to him about this. And she confronts him. And it seems like he already knew, right? And I think that's, Aaron, where you were leading, like he was kind of leading her into it. And
right.
So he starts training her. He's like, if you're going to hound me to protect me, then you're going to have to train and be able to keep up.
Which honestly is progress for him because she is a woman. And normally he's like, not in my boys' club. But here he's like, okay, well, you can do it.
Well, you say progress, but we saw a lot of the same asshole Bruce Wayne come back. Like, he's very demanding. He's very bossy. It's my way or the highway. Mm-hmm. And obviously some of that's for her own protection because it's a very risky job that she's going to be doing. But this is a lot more of the beat down, not complete.
Yeah. Did he want her to fail so he can be like, well, I give you a chance?
I think he wanted her to fail. I think he was like, I can justify like firing you. You know my secret. You're not going to reveal it because I will bring you down, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And but she made it through her 30 days and was
30. Now you get health benefits.
I like that issue. I like the 30 day issue of her training and like you actually saw her evolve like physically as she got better. I mean, you can't get that ripped in 30 days, but that's fine.
Right.
I would do it if you could, but Bruce, please send me your regiment.
Right, seriously, yeah.
I would rather die.
Back in the first issue where Two-Face is, it's like Gordon's retirement party, and Two-Face like busts out of the bathroom, and did you catch the names of his goons? I think it was like a little tribute to Denny O'Neil. He calls out the names of the two goons as Dennis and Neil, like right next to each other. I don't know if you saw that. I thought that was kind of cool. As he takes Sasha's, like, thinks Bruce is in the bathroom and hiding in a stall, and like Two-Face comes out, and I'm like, how long has Two-Face been hiding in the bathroom?
Right.
Like, what?
She definitely looks under the stall door, and his pants are down, right? Like, so Two-Face was just in there taking a shit.
While he was there, he took care of business.
You know, he probably took a number two.
Yeah. A number one or a number two? Flip the coin.
Both. Why not both?
I, of course, loved that part of that issue during the retirement party. Gordon's having to hear all the mayor people and, you know, the commissioner, other commissioners and stuff talk and gloat on him, and he doesn't want anything to do with it. And then Two-Face shows up, and
him not wanting the attention was unrelatable to me. I can't relate to characters like that.
Well, him being a hardened police commissioner is probably pretty unrelatable to Ben.
What?
I did really like when Two-Face like flips the coin and decides, and it comes up normal or not scarred coin, and Harvey gives a very heartfelt goodbye retirement speech to Gordon, and
very weird, and
then he just gets let off in handcuffs, even though it's like, it just, that's just the pinnacle of Two-Face there, and I think that's was just really well done. Like, I really enjoyed those kind of,
absolutely,
you think it's gonna go to chaos, and Bruce is like, no, wait, or Batman's like, well, wait, we'll wait a second before we do anything, and
I want to see what the coin says.
He wanted to hear the speech for Jim.
So often you see it come up bad, and then Two-Face becomes aggressive, right? Or it comes up good, and then he just leaves, or it cuts to black, and he, you know, the action didn't happen. But the fact that we get him, like, he's like, okay, I'm going to be Harvey, and he gives that speech. Like, I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. Very, very Two-Facey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep.
Something I did not love in this book was how Sasha develops a romantic interest in Bruce.
Was it? Or was she?
Oh, she's fallen for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She gets all jealous of that other
Yeah,
chick.
Now that she knows, oh, he's not a complete moron. He's Batman. Oh, right. He's sexy.
A female character must fall for the male lead. There's no other thing they could possibly do with her. It was annoying. It felt very like, oh, this is required. To me.
Right.
And he was being kind of like, oh, you're just my wench now. You're just my helper. And so it was like, I'm going to flaunt these other women in front of you.
That's the part I thought you'd be more annoyed
well,
about.
The whole thing. The treatment of her little crush. It's like, what are you doing, Bruce?
Oh, yeah. So Vesper Fairchild comes back. And we had her a little bit pre-No Man's Land. She was the newscaster. She apparently won some kind of award for her coverage of the cataclysm and all that, and then she disappeared during No Man's Land. She's like, oh, okay.
Much like people do in comic books.
You know, it should be Vesper Fairweather, not Fairchild. No. So she hightailed.
How long have you been sitting on that one?
It just came to me, but I got really excited about it. So she comes back, and her and Bruce start up a romantic relationship again, and Sasha has to watch, as she's discovering Bruce as Batman, she has to watch him do the Playboy side of it, too. And she's disgusted by the duality of this guy.
It felt to me very like he did it specifically to hurt her or put her in her place or scare her away from being like trying to get rid of her.
I think Batman did it because Bruce was getting too close to her.
Nice.
And I think Batman's like, I gotta get rid of her because Bruce is falling for her is how I kind of looked at it as like, I got to sabotage myself because this is going counter to what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. And he does it in a pretty brutal way. Like,
she thinks she's showing up for a date and it's like, he's in the hot tub with like three or four barely clad models, just
right, playing wear Bruce's shorts. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, come on in. And she's like hightails it out or,
it was awkward.
It was
Bruce is an
awkward
asshole.
At least.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but we find out that she is, and maybe one of the reasons he had to get rid of her is she is there looking into Batman. She's trying to catch pictures of Batman or catch him in the act or something like that. She's trying to make another name for herself via right. Batman. And he's like, well, you're not going to do that on my dime, right? Like, get rid of her.
No. Yeah. Time to go.
And he kicks her out and gets rid of her at the same time that Sasha is totally figuring out who he is. And he's like, eh, I guess, you know, oh, well, you could be on the team. I, at this point, and it's like, I love Batman and Robin, and I love all the different iterations of Robin, and I like the Batgirls and all that, but the Bat family is getting so big. Like, who doesn't know Batman's identity?
This definitely felt to me like the first moment of like, oh, too many people.
It seemed odd that he's letting her know and he's training someone else. I'm like, is this going to be another Robin? Is she going to take over? I've never heard of this person in all
the
time
that we've
read. Yeah,
the fact that
you've
never heard of her, right? Like,
so it seemed like, or is Bruce thinking, or Batman thinking that, oh, she ain't going to be around very long. I'll just use her till I get what I need and then she's gone.
Is she going to get refrigerated? I don't know.
I definitely had the feeling.
I've never fucking heard of her.
I definitely started having the
Whirlpool
feeling.
Whirlpool or Frigidaire?
Oh, no. I definitely started having that feeling with the new Batgirl. And then this one kind of definitely.
But at least the new Batgirl is a Batgirl. This girl doesn't even get. Does she get a code name?
Well, the new Batgirl's not going to say much anyway.
They were kind of leading that she might be getting a name when she was there with one of the homeless guys and he called her Cover.
Okay.
He's like, oh, isn't that your name? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. So,
yeah. All right.
Superman.
So somebody who doesn't know Batman's identity, surprisingly, Lois Lane.
Yeah, shocking. That Bruce and Clark are so bro-y that Clark keeps that from Lois.
Even his wife. That's how great it is. That's how good their friendship is.
Because Bruce, but Bruce, I mean, Batman's like, oh, I'm surprised by this. But anyways, I love this little story because they both are like looking out for Clark. Lois and Bruce are looking out for Clark and they're like, Lex is president and Lex has this the most powerful weapon against you. We have to get it back. And Clark is very, Superman is very like, oh, we have to do things the right way.
Superman was a douche in this at the beginning. And then, go ahead, Ben. I don't want to.
No, I was just getting it started.
Yeah.
Talk about the doucheness.
Well, he's like the super Boy Scout, like, I'm gonna stick with this a-hole president, even though he's an a-hole president, and that's what I gotta do, because that's the American way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, thankfully, you realize that he and Batman were planning this from the beginning.
Yes.
Which was a nice turn. I was like, thank God it's not like just, I'm gonna support Lex and the militia or the chaos that he's planning, even though, like,
but he's smart enough to know that Superman needs, like, the American people trust Superman as much as they need to trust their president. And so, like, if he publicly is against the president or the presidency, then that loses a lot of the
credibility
right. that Superman has. And so he goes along with Batman's plan, and that's not revealed for both issues until the end, which I really liked. I didn't see it coming. I was like, Superman, you're an asshole. Like, come on.
I was like, come on, man. Like, just like snap
They're
out
trying
of it.
To
this isn't even
you.
Your fucking planet.
Literally, this man who wants you gone has a rock that can kill you. Like, let your wife and friend help you.
Right. And he did, and it was cute.
Batman just wants the control himself. He wants to break you, not Lex.
And it was very jarring because this trade is mostly the one style of art that we've already talked about. And right. then you get one issue of Ed McGuinness, which is beautiful, and my style of art. And then I'm like, oh, I got to read more shit after this. But the cover, I don't know if you saw it in there, Aaron, the cover of the Superman issue is Batman and Lois in Ed McGuinness style, like, roping their way through the city, and it's very beautiful.
And then the counter one is Superman
Lois.
Hauling Lois off by the bat rope.
Yeah, and you've got like the symbols behind them or whatever.
Doesn't Lois comment on something about like flying or swinging with Batman? And he's like, you've done this with him all the time.
She's like, he can fly.
Yeah, she panics that Bruce is not going to, or Batman, because she doesn't know, is not going to be able to catch her.
They're a duo that we don't get a ton of. We'll get more, but I definitely enjoy a good Lois and Bruce. It's a very odd combo.
Yeah, yeah, it is a very odd combo, but that's okay.
Well, and they're both super intelligent, and I think that I love, actually really like that she doesn't know, at least at this point she doesn't know. And she tells him, like, why would I know? Like, Clark didn't tell me, and he's not going to. But she also is such a good reporter that if she decided to find out, she's one of the people, one of those who has the skills to probably uncover it if she dug deep enough. And even, like...
But she's so committed to journalism that if she did discover it, she'd probably feel obligated to
expose
about
it.
That, yeah.
Absolutely. And her and Bruce Wayne even have history together through comics. You know, there's a little bit of an on again, off again before.
That's it's Bruce.
Well, to create the jealousy between him and Clark, which is great. Yeah, no, I love those issues. I think everybody that Ed McGuinness draws has been on Batman's workout regiment, though.
She is ripped.
They are all ripped.
And marshmallow looking.
Yeah.
Even Jonathan Kent is, he's benching something like 350. So.
True. Very true.
All right.
Anything else on that one?
Well, yeah, I want to talk about the GCPD investigation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because internal affairs, so there's a Mad Hatter storyline that we get where Mad Hatter is taking over the police.
And he had some wild makeup costume change situation going on, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He turns into a short little mustachio barista.
I love short Mad Hatter. I love tiny little Mad Hatter.
Yes.
It seems more true to the Alice storyline with him being just a wacko.
Agreed.
Yeah,
a 1,000%. Yeah, a little gremlin.
But the coffee idea of like tainting the coffee and the cards that you carry as the communicator, it's a pretty ingenious scheme. Like, you know, cops are going to be buying their coffees, and it's a great way to infiltrate the entire GCPD. And
yeah, and we haven't had Hatter in quite some time because I don't recall him being in No Man's Land at all, right?
Nope,
he was at the very, very beginning. When they were like, because Superman swooped in and like took him out in like 2 seconds, and that's all he was in it.
I believe you. I don't remember that.
Nah, it happened.
No Man's Land was a long
time ago.
It was just long. So therefore, a long time ago, yes.
And so Montoya and Alan, her partner, they end up getting swept up in Hatter's little scheme, and they are under investigation for a crime that they unwillingly committed. And that brings in Eternal Affairs at the GCPD to start investigating, because like half the police force goes bad all of a sudden. Like, well, we have to look into that. You know, were they all under Mad Hatter's influence, or some of them just taking advantage of it, right?
And there's going to be a new series, right? That's kind of what this is all leading up to, where the GCPD gets more storylines on their own and they flesh out some of these supporting characters. Is this kind of building up to that?
I think so. I mean, Greg Rucka definitely loves the street level...
Crime solving,
police procedural storylines. He will eventually spin it off into Gotham Central. I think we're still like 2 or 3 years away from that. But maybe only a year or two. But yes, you are right. Some of the characters are getting a little bit more fleshed out here. As Internal Affairs is investigating, we find out that they're not just there to look into the Mad Hatter situation.
No.
That they're actually looking for Jordan Rich's killer.
Mm. Killer.
Which we talked about. Not last week.
And we talked about how Bullock had got rid of his key to his handcuffs, and that we were left to believe it was Bullock who killed him, but we end up finding that Bullock had hired or had given the okay for one of the, who was it? I can't remember who it was. Benetti, one of the mob guys, to kind of do the hit.
Yeah, so this guy was under protective custody, and Bullock exposed him, and he's like, this is where the guy is that you want, and they killed him. Bullock didn't pull the trigger, but he made it definitely possible.
Yeah. And So he ends up resigning, and that's that was kind of a twist I didn't see coming, that Bullock is resigning. So he and
sure
Jordan
that'll last
are going to go hit up the movie theaters and the BKs on their retirements.
Well, and
BK, have it your way.
And it's Montoya that gets questioned about him, and I really like her character. I love the trajectory that they've taken her and the relationship between her and her ex-partner Harvey and her current partner Alan. They're very different cops, and she cares about Harvey, but she also cares about the law, and so she's
got storylines with a couple Harveys.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Two of them, actually.
Wow, that's fitting. Yeah.
Anything else you guys want to cover? Anything that we
think so?
Yeah. No. Not really.
Checking my notes real fast.
This is unrelated, but I was talking when we were mentioning, like, I don't know, you mentioned the mob and stuff that made me think of the Penguin TV show that's going to be coming out. Have you heard much?
I have not. Not since.
I was talking down at one of the guys that runs Tater Tot yesterday, and he mentioned that he thinks it's going to be centered around the Penguin and other factions vying for control of the territory.
Yes.
And he thinks the Ventriloquist is going to be one of the three, along with Black Mask, that are vying for control.
That's
I will
exciting.
Lose my shit.
And I was like, I stopped sorting through the comics when he mentioned that, and I was like, that would be pretty
when
awesome.
When is it supposed to come out?
24. It comes out in 2024.
So
before the next movie.
That's not being affected by any of the DC movies?
No, because it's not in the
okay.
It's not in the continuity line, or
right.
it's its own.
So kind. It's the Penguin from the Batman,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah.
it's not connected
Colin
to
Farrell.
The Batman?
No, it is.
It's connected to the Batman with Pattinson, but
okay.
not to the DC universe.
So confusing.
If you remember at the end of that, Gotham was kind of destroyed and the Penguin had gotten rid of his boss, basically.
Yes, yes.
And so it's supposed to pick, what I've heard is it's supposed to pick up like 2 to 3 weeks after the events of the
okay.
movie.
I was just confused mm-hmm. about what is getting scrapped and what is continuing.
And then it's supposed to have some characters from who have been cast from The Long Halloween and Dark Victory, some of the mob
yes.
connections there.
So now I'm very excited about the possibilities of that.
Yeah, and I mean, Colin Farrell, that character, he did so well as Penguin. He can hold a TV show, my interest in the TV show. And if they do like a, you know, spotlight in Gotham and Batman only pops up like once or twice the whole season, I will love it.
It's my favorite kind of Batman story. All right, so back to this Batman story, recommendations.
But let me ask you something. What do you think of this? Say it's
all right. That was terrible. Right. Horrendous. I'm offended. I'm appalled. Right.
That was
awesome. It's
yes.
Yes.
No! I love the 2-issue Superman thing. I wish that both issues were drawn by McGinnis because art does make things a lot better. I'm glad we met Sasha and all this because I really didn't know anything about it. I don't think you really need to knowing where things are going. The fact that we didn't know she existed means I think it's
right.
skippable in the grand scheme of the Batman world. It was fine. There were some interesting storytelling mechanics, but for the most part, I don't need to read this again.
You know, parts of that I agree. Some of it was really good. Some of it, I think, knowing what happens with Bullock and his resignation, and I'm sure some of the I would hope that some of the Sasha stuff will be important later. I kind of doubt it. Maybe the Vesper stuff is. I don't know. The Superman story, getting the ring back, I think that's definitely something that was necessary to read to find out that Lex does not have it anymore, and that it's back in that control. I did like the Two-Face story at the beginning, and as I mentioned, I thought that was a good, like, Harvey kind of take. But I don't know how important it is in the general scheme, but if you're bored and want to read something.
I really enjoyed it. I think a couple of the issues you can speed through. Some of them are less important to the overall story. I think it's a really important part of this time period for Batman. The 2000 to 2002 is a skipped over section of Batman, I think, a lot of, and, you know, originally,
because what's coming is so good.
Right. 5 years ago when I did the timeline, we jumped from No Man's Land to where we're headed in the, you know, the next like 6 to 7 weeks here. And there wasn't anything in between the in the timeline. I'm like, well, I really want to flesh out those couple of years. And so in that period, this is an important story. And I am glad to have revisited, because I did give up buying the issues when they were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And now, having read through them all, I'm glad I've read this. So I recommend it. It is hard to find that trade paperback. So you probably will save some money and go get the single issues. So
yeah. Yeah, I think it was a pricey one. But
yeah, it was very short printed, probably because nobody wanted it, but it's very short printed. So.
All right, what's next, Jake?
Well, if you're reading along with us, we are going to be covering Catwoman, Volume 2, 91 through 94, and the storyline Trail of the Catwoman from Detective 759 and 760 through 762. So in Detective issues that were coming out, there are actually multiple stories often, because Detective Comics was originally an anthology book. And so we read the Batman side of it for this episode, and now we're going to read the shorter Catwoman side of it next week. So
great.
Mm. Aaron, did we learn anything today?
It's that time again.
To do another one of our cute little skits?
No, it's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Well, Ben, this is from you, and you said that female characters must fall for the male lead because there's nothing else they can do.
So yeah, I said that commenting on how these writers act. I did not say that as my own opinion. That's going to be in every fucking intro now. Context.
Yikes, Ben. That's a bold opinion.
You know, sexist, homophobic, racist Ben sitting over here. All right.
Anyway.
For the Brotherhood of Batman, I am your sunshine into feminism and the baby brother.
I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I'll clean this up. Thanks for listening.
And I'm Jake, the middle brother. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Hopes of bitterest plants this